Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you once again. This is Pastor Ola Starling with the Anointed Word International Ministries. I'm so blessed to be here tonight. And I give God all the glory and the honor. I praise him because, praise God, he loved me first. And he loved me more than I love myself. I thank God for his grace, his mercy. I thank him, praise God, for life and strength. I thank him because he gave and he supplied me with all of my needs being met. And not only did he supply me with my needs being met, he watched over me continuously throughout this day and my loved ones. And, Father, I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for your kindness and your goodness and your mercy, for you are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. There is no other God that I will bow unto, for you are the true and the living God. And I pray, praise God, that you have been blessed today, praise God, as I have, and that God has loved on you like he loved on me. And I give God glory and honor today. And I pray, praise God, that you and your loved ones, your family, we find you all as well. And I also, praise God, believe God, that you that do not know the Lord in the pardon of your sins, that you are seeking him, praise God, to find him. Find him now while he can be found, for there will come a time he will not be around. I praise God for you and you and you, and I thank God for just allowing me, praise God, to come into your presence once again, because it's not of my goodness, neither my likes or my popularity. It is only by the grace of God that I come to you today, and I give him the praise and the glory and the honor. Now go and get your family members, get your loved ones, your husband, your children, get your Bible, your pencils, that you may jot down, praise God, what has been said here tonight. Go back and review it for your understanding. It's nothing like getting nothing but the word and understanding the word. For the Bible declared, out of all that getting, you must get an understanding. So I'm asking you to get your pens and your paper and write down these scriptures and write down things that you come across, your thoughts that you might want to remember and meditate upon. Because in these days and time, you need the truth and you need to know the word and understand the word. And tonight, God, bring understanding, clarity. Bring, praise God, the clarity and understanding of every word that would be spoken here tonight, that it may be edifying for the listener and for the hearer. And God, I know that you're able to do that. For Father, it's not I, but it's you, the Christ in me. Father God, to bring forth this word tonight. And I pray, praise God, that there's a word, praise God, that they could understand. And praise God, that it would come forth, praise God, and give life. For there might be steadfast, there might be, praise God, weakening, praise God, in that spirit man. But I thank you, Father God, for your love and for your greatness and for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. But tonight, praise God, I want to continue talking to you about the man named Samson. We talked about Samson a day or few ago, and we talked about how he was misled, and praise God, and how he allowed, praise God, a woman to bring him down. And we have to be careful today, men and women as well. Praise God, know, praise God, who you connect yourself with. No, praise God, is it of God or is it of the devil? Because the devil can send some beautiful women, and the devil can send some fine, handsome gentlemen. And all they're coming for is to tear you down. But you may know, praise God, if you have the Lord in you, he will give you the spirit of discerning. But tonight, the message is going to be coming from Judges 16, 1 through 3. And if I had to talk to you tonight, I'd talk to you about Samson and the shady lady. Yes, Samson and the shady lady. You know, praise God, because you got a lot of women, they're very shady. But they're beautiful, but they're shady. And you see, the last glimpse we had of Samson was a man who was seen to have gotten his act together. You understand? And as the previous act closes, we saw Samson, praise God, calling on the Lord in humility. He prayed to the Lord God, delivering him from death through a great miracle. That story ended with Samson judging Israel for 20 years. And after a period of peace and steadfast services, Samson falls once again. He falls once again. My goodness, he falls once again into his old ways. This is what happens when you get into your old ways, you got many of them say, I'm going to live for the Lord, and things happen, and they get a little scared or a little shaky, and they figure, I need to change my ways, and they do it for a minute, and then all of a sudden, they back at their old habits again. Yes, they had their old habits again. Mom used to always say, you cannot teach your old dog new tricks. My God. So not saying that you're a dog, but if you got tricks in you and you never delivered them and denounced them, then they still do abide in you. And after a period of peace and steadfastness services, Samson fall once again into his old ways with the shady lady. Mm-hmm. And he fell, praise God, once again. His old passion rises to the surface, and Samson once again find himself entangled in a web of sin. You see, one thing about sin, my friend, sin is easy to get into, and it's hard to get out. People want to make it look like, oh, they know when you're doing sin, you like it because you're enjoying it. It is something that's pleasing the flesh. When Lord, before the Lord saved me, I loved what I was doing. I was doing it, praise God, and I was happy about it and didn't find nothing wrong with it because it was pleasing my flesh. Pleasing my flesh, praise God. And I was entangled in a web of sin. And Samson may have been a powerful man physically, but he was a moral weakling. He may have demonstrated his power through his big arms and his muscles, ladies. Ladies, you see these big men blowed all up. Oh, God, he's fine. But is he strong? Because he looks strong. More than likely, he probably is a moral weakling. He may have demonstrated his power time and time again over, praise God, the lifting of this and the lifting of that and working out and pumped up and all of that. And if you stuck a pin in him, the air go out and, praise God, faster than the wheel of a flat tie. Hallelujah. And over the enemy of the Lord, but he was helpless against the power of his flesh. You got to understand the flesh is an enemy to God. It is an enemy to you. The Bible says what? The flesh and God don't get along. He said he that walks in the spirit does not walk after the flesh. He does not mind the things of the flesh. And Samson reminded me of Achilles. You see, Achilles was a Greek mythology god. Achilles was a son of a human king named Pelas, and a sea goddess named, I think it's called Thetis. That's called, the name of her was called Ditis. And Achilles was the greatest, bravest, strongest, most handsome soldier in the father's army. Good looking. Oh, my, the women you can say today, God, he's fine. Boy, what a hunk. Yeah, he was fine. But he was in the army. And the legend goes that Tithias held her son, the woman, his mother, held her infant son by his heels and dipped him in the water of the river of Styx. And the magical power of the river rendered Achilles invaluable. In every part of his body. Mm-hmm. Every part of his body. Now, she dipped him in the water upside down, except his heels, and which had not been dipped in the water. She didn't go in the water. And that small part of him was the dangerous part of him because that was the only way that people could attack him and kill him, and it would have been fatal. But later, praise God, in the heat of a battle, Achilles was struck in the heel by an arrow. And guess what? With his fine self. That's why I just said you could stick a pin in some of them there, the air go out them quicker than a flat tire. And he was killed. That myth had become a proverb which each of us live our lives right now. It became a proverb. We all have Achilles heels. We all possesses those areas of life in which we are valuable to attack. And we all possess that area out of our walk with God. And when we are, prone to fall. The Bible said, praise the Lord, that every one of us has come short to the glory of God. The writer in Hebrew called it the sin which doeth so easily beset us. In Hebrew 12:1, that sin varies from what? From person to person. But whatever that sin might be, praise God, in your life, it is your Achilles, the heel. It can kill you. That part of your life, whatever it may be, that's your heel, that's your Achilles, which is the heel. Praise God for Samson. Samson, in his Achilles, his heel was his women and his illiterate sexual relationships. For others, it might be the quest of money, fame, popularity, position, ambition, power, the body of a woman. For some, it might be pride, lust, selfishness, gossip, anger, malice, hard Jesus, hey God, or a host of other sins. But whatever the case may be, besetting sin might be for you. If you are not able to conquer it through the power of the Holy Spirit, it will be your downfall. People act out like, oh, it don't bother me. I'm not tempted. Yes, honey, sin. Sin is good as long as you're doing it and don't get caught. Yes. And you have to understand, praise God, sin is sent forth to bring you down, not to build you up. That's what it's sent for. You have to understand, praise God, the lifestyle and the taste for ungodly, just something goes like this. I can't resist anything but temptation. The only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. That's what they say. You know what they say, if you can't beat them, join them. Praise God, hallelujah. That seemed to be the motive of Samson embracing his life and enjoying it. What am I saying is, it seems to be that the motto embraced by many in the modern church. Yes, yes. It's more sin in the church than it is in the bars. Hello, somebody. This passage reminded me about the great power sin held over us. It is a reminder, praise the Lord, that we are really defeated. Do we really defeat sin? Is it always there? Is the depths of our fallen nature wait like a cobra to strike us and to fill us, praise God, with its deadly venom? This is a reminder, praise the Lord, that we must walk vigilantly and sober. We must be vigilant and sober and aware of sin, the presence and the power in our life. It doesn't matter how saved you is, baby, sin still comes to you. You are not exempt. This is a reminder, praise God, that the moment of weakness can cause you to fall back into the old man, the sinful habits. We thought we were long dead. They just lay in sleep. They're in a deep sleep. If you didn't praise God, give them over to God. They're in a deep sleep. Because they will come back up. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:8. This passage is sad because it is a terrible way for Samson to conclude 20 years of successful ministry. But it is a reminder, my friend, that we are never beyond the alluring and the pulling of our sinful affection. Yes. You've been placed in the devil, said, oh, do that. You remember you just said, they try to bring it back to you. But you had to say, Satan, the Lord thy God rebuke you. Satan only needs an inch in order to become your ruler. Hey, God. Yes, Father. You only need an inch to become your ruler. I want to talk to you today about Samson and the shady lady. I want you, praise God, to notice some lessons, praise God, that present themselves to us in this discussion. Okay? The first thing, praise God, we must understand. We have to face our battles with our own besetting sins. You have to realize, praise God, don't go try to tell somebody else about their sins when you're dealing with your own. Samson and this defilement. And his defilement. The reason for Samson to fall back into sins are given to us in this first verse. Several elements is involved in this fall. They involve it at the wrong address. The Bible says, look what he did. Then Samson went to who? To Gaza. Why did he have to go to Gaza? He went to the wrong address. Gaza was a Philistine city located near the Mediterranean Sea. It was situated on the main road that allowed travels between Egypt and Babylonia and Syria. It was a commercial and a military crossroad. The name Gaza means strength, and it was a Philistine stronghold. When you know, praise God, what is your downfall, why do you take it? If a man is used to robbing and stealing and taking everybody's money, they shouldn't get him a job in a bank. Hold on, yes, Jesus. It was a place known for its wickedness and adulteries. It was no place for a man of God to even decide on this is the road I'm going to take. A woman of God or a child of God. It does not matter where you spend your time. if you constantly find, you understand this? See, many times, praise God, we said it before, you play with fire, you get burned. If you constantly find yourself in a place where you are surrounded by sin or even in a place where you can be tempted, you are setting yourself up for a fall. The Bible warns us to avoid places where we might be tempted to what? Sin. Proverbs 4:14-15 says, enter not into the path of wicked and not go in the path of wicked and go not in the path and they eat the ways of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not through it. Turn from it and get away from it. Some, praise God, some people will question your refusal to go where they go and want. You can go, child, where you go. I know what hinders me. I know what my problem is. I won't follow you. No, but you have a duty to God when he saved you. You have a responsibility to your own soul to protect it from temptation. It is better to bear the scorners of a sinner than to be scarce, you know, and scarred by sin. Because you go and then you want to go, then I'm not going. It doesn't make me weak. It has nothing to do with me. I'm going to do what's conducive for me. Hallelujah. And if you are not an alcoholic, then don't go around. Don't be avoided. Avoid the beer, the liquor, and those that drinking it. The drugs, if you're not a drug addict, then don't hang out with drug dealers and get around drug addiction. Because somebody going to entice someone. But you're falling into the type of sin does not always require change of a physical address. See, Samson went to the wrong address. He went to Gaza when he should have stayed where he was. Ah, Jesus. For instance, if you have a problem with lust, be careful where you go on the internet and what you watch on TV. If you have a problem with gossip, be careful to whom you talk to on the phone. What is it saying it to us? This information we're getting is priceless. 2 Peter 2:8 says, for that righteous man dwelleth among them. In seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Praise the Lord, when you get around someone and you enjoy seeing them do wrong and you like what they do, then that means you are one of them. That's right. That means you're one of them. The second thing involved the wrong action, the wrong attraction. We were told that in Gaza, Samson saw there was an harlot. Samson has always had eye trouble. And how many of us don't have eye trouble? That's why the Lord said, guard your gates. Guard your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your ears. Your hands, guard them, guard them, guard them. He cast his eyes in Gaza on the wrong thing, and it led him to sin. Yes, if we do not guard our eye gates, well, my God, we would allow things into our minds that would cause us to be tempted. It is possible to be defeated by the things we see. Matthew 5:28. The Bible says men like Samson, Judah, David, Samson, all were led off into sin by the things they looked at with their eyes. Guard your eye gates. We must take steps to guard our eye gates from the things that would defile us. Women, looking at men, lusting after men. Men, looking at women, lusting after women. As you might expect, the Bible offers some very good advice in this important area, my friend. Turn away from the mind, the eyes, from beholding vanity, and quicken thy way, me in thy way. Psalms 119:37. We should seek the Lord's help in guarding ourselves in this vital area. I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job 31:1. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Proverbs 4:25-26. My friend, whatever you need is in the Word. It's in the Word of God. You have no need, praise God, to want anything because God is there for your liking. He's there, praise God, to keep you on the path called straight. That's what he does. He will put you on the path called straight. He don't want you to sin. Because sin do range in your mortal bodies. We have a tendency, praise God, to wonder, wondering eyes. Your eye gates, yes. Praise the Lord. Our eye gates can cause us, praise God, to fall into the bed of temptation. That's what the Lord said. We must be vigilant. We must be sober. We must walk, praise God, according to God's ways. Turn away from it. But when women see men now, they just look, man, they stare you down. They will stare you down. Praise God. Samson got caught up. He got caught up because when he saw his body, he saw what he wanted. He couldn't turn away. When the wrong image allows us through our eyes, we get locked in. We must guard our eyes at all times. Hallelujah. Involving the wrong alliances. We were told that Samson went in unto her. What? Samson's sin was not an accident. He had already premeditated this. He was merely a man overtaken by some snare of the devil. Samson was in the wrong place looking at the wrong things in this instant. He was on his own worst, he was his own self-worst enemy. He contributed to his own fall. When we play around, praise God, with sin and tempt ourselves, we become the reason of what? Our own failure. It isn't God's fault that we fall. We can't even blame Satan on everything, on all our failures. We sin because we give in to our own lusts. We sin because we allow ourselves to go to the wrong places and look at the wrong things. That is why the Bible said, teach. James 1, write this down, James 1, 13 and 15. Samson got into the trouble because he was overconfident. He thought he could handle the pull of his flesh. That flesh is a mess. Hey, God, you better kill the flesh before the flesh kill you. He learned the hard way that it was helpless against his flesh and that lust that lived there. And when we get to the place where we think we have arrived, we too are headed for a great fall. We're headed for a downfall. Proverbs 16:18, 1 Corinthians 10:12. Let's not overlook the fact that Samson sinned it because he allowed himself to be with the wrong people. He would have never committed this sin had he been around the people of God at the house of God or in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Because he was in the wrong place looking at the wrong things with the wrong people, he fell into sin. The same will happen to us, praise God, when we allow ourselves to be attached to the wrong things, the wrong people, the wrong places, and doing the wrong things. We are headed for a fall. The people you surround yourself with will influence your thinking and your action. This is why the Bible warns us, praise God, against friendliness with the wicked. Only thing somebody should be doing, the wicked, trying to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because one thing I know, my friend, if you don't entice them, they're going to entice you. Ah, God, ye gave us out. In Proverbs 22, 24, 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man and with a furious man. Thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. 1 Corinthians. You got to know who you connect yourself to. Everybody's not out for your best interest. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. Hallelujah. Well, we blame one another, but ourselves, when we set ourselves up to sin. The fact is, some people get so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, they do not know they're being tempted. All they really need is an opportunity. Samson and his defilement. He had a problem. Samson and his discovery. Samson thought he was above temptation. Big mistake, my friend. When Samson's in the company of the harlot, his enemy discovered that he is in town. They set a trap to capture him. Samson thought he would turn aside for a few moments to pleasure, and he literally says sex relationship. He thought he could have his fun and just leave town. Oh, my friend, the devil has a trap for you. He has a trap for you, and he will have someone to play Russian roulette with your life to get you caught up into a sin that you cannot escape except you fall, even if it's to your death. Jesus, Ah, God. Then again, neither do we. The truth is, Satan uses our sins to set us up for a fall. The passage demonstration, the way sin works in our lives is to attack us and bring us down. Sin does not bring you up. It brings you down, people. Something about sin surrounding the work. The Philistine compassion him. That means that his enemy surrounded him and they laid a trap for his capture. The devil is not going down by himself. Satan, and he's not going down by himself. And this is why the devil set him up with the shady lady. The shady lady Delilah. Yes. Yes. Sin is like a boring stricter. It encircles the lives of its victims and slowly squeezes the life right out of them. The freedom of the sinner is stolen away by the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual toll of sin. Diseases, addiction, trauma, financial loss, ruined relationship, destroys of the family, shattered truth, depression, and for some, incarnation. Limit the freedoms of living, the bringing destruction and the pain. The life of sin is not like the freedom of reckless abandon. It is a life of profound bondage and dark slavery. Ephesians 2, 2 and 3. Sometimes, and there is something about sin, study work. One thing you must know, praise God, about the enemy, he does not quit. He does not give up. He works until the death. It means it is even his death. The Philistines had laid a wait for him all night. They waited for him all night. They hid in her house all night. Jesus. They were not in a hurry because time was on their side. Sin is also patient in the ways it works. It will play its cards close to the vessel until the sinner is hopeless and tangled in his web. The sinner doesn't always feel the trap close around him. When they are living out their life of pleasure, but sin is patient, my God. And when the time is right, my friend, it will spring the trap and destroy the life of his victims. The devil watches you. He studies you. Most of the time, by the time the results of sin is known, it's too late to escape the trap. And ask the chronic alcoholic if there is a sting in the liquor bottle. Ask the AIDS victim if he feels the sting associated with his lifestyle. Ask him. He will tell you, no, the joy of that was just in the thrill. We must understand, praise God, the devil has no good thing for us. The devil's desire is to sift all the good in you out. It may take a while, but eventually the sin will play his hand and spring up his trap, and the sinner, they will pay the terrible price for falling into sin. And Galatians 6 and 7, the time to repent is now, my friend. Now repent. The time to escape sin bondage is now. Something about sin is silent work. It's like the silent killer. Blood pressure. The Bible said the Philistine was quiet all night long while Samson was having the time of his life. Him and the shady lady was having the time of their life. But the devil was in the house with him and his captors was there too. Hey, God. They did not let Samson know they were there and laying in wait to capture him. The devil don't let you know I'm watching you. The devil doesn't let you know I got my eyes on you. Something about sin is slaying the work. When it is day, we shall kill him. Death was the plan for Samson. Death is the end of sin. Romans 6:23, James 1:15. Sin is destructive. I praise God there is victory in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15:55-7, I am glad that he can deliver us from a life of sin and give us a new life if you return to him right now. And realize, praise God, sin is too strong for you. Sin is sent to destroy you. We must understand Samson and his defilement, Samson and his discovery, Samson and his delivery. God is sending forth the word, praise God, to deliver you from the hands of the men enemy. The power of our deliverance. When Samson woke up, he got up, went out, and took the great gate of the city and carried them away. The top of the hill that it was before is before Herod. You must understand, God warns us about the sin before it overtakes us. But if you can pay attention and hear the voice of God and obey him when he speaks, you can come out being a winner. Pardon of his deliverance, Samson delivered, was great of God in action in Samson's life. Samson deserved to be caught by his enemy. He deserved the judgment and the chastisement that was coming his way for his action. This wasn't the first time God has spared the strong man in a time of wickedness. This is not our first time that God destroys, that spares us for the thing that we do and the sin that we are caught up into. You must understand God's mercy for us is always sure. You must understand, praise God, that God sends a warning before destruction. God sends a warning before his destruction. There will come a day when God's patience will be exalted, and the full force of his choices will fall on your head. There's always consequences attached to sin, my friend. And do not for a minute think God will not allow those consequences to be brought to passion in your life. Hebrews 12:6-11 and Revelation 3:19. Samson and the Shady Lady. If Samson teaches us anything, he teaches us that truth, that we must guard our hearts. We must shield our lives from all the evil influences that will lead us away from God. And watch the places you go. Watch the things you give that get your attention to. And watch the people that you associate with. If sin is allowed to stink and fend, to sink, sin is allowed to destroy you and your life. I pray, praise God, you were blessed from the words tonight. For the Lord is saying to you, it is a time to kill the serpent of sin right now. The Lord has touched you about. He has touched you about the way you have been living in your life. Or if you need to come and pray for help and protection, do it now. For he's standing with outstretched arms. Come as you are. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen again.